Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at BJGeekNation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagné. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Dolly Parton, you guys all know who she is, right? Can I get descriptions from Danny and Vicky who what they know about Dolly Parton?
Okay.
I'd like to know.
So, Jolene.
All right, Vicky, you know what?
I actually like Dolly.
All right. I keep forgetting Vicky's an older soul.
All right, what about you, Danny?
Danny?
I know she has big,
yes. Yeah.
Nice, perfect.
That's my answer. Dolly's Knockers.
Yeah.
Dolly's Knockers.
Yeah.
That's going to be the name of my new band.
Oh, nice.
You want to play guitar?
Can I join you?
Yeah.
Look, no doubt about it, Dolly Parton used her.
I think she would sing on that album. If she found out there was a band called Dolly's Knockers, yeah. I think she would think that's funny.
From
interviews that I've heard with her,
yeah,
she's willing to not poke fun, because there's nothing to poke fun of. It's just that's just something that she has. But she would always, you know, have a good time with that.
Well, and she is she comes from a generation where she blatantly used her good looks along with her great talent to get ahead. You know, because you have great talent in the world of entertainment back in her day, it didn't mean you were going to get anywhere. You had to have something else. You had to have something else to put you ahead of everybody else who could sing. And, well, her curvaceous body and her amazing look, no doubt about it. She was like the Mae West, if you will, of country music. Why did I say Mae West?
Nobody Mae West? Who the hell is that?
You know what she kind of was?
Yeah, but she was.
Now that I think about it, in a weird way, she was many years ago, generation version of Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Started off huge in country.
Yeah.
Then became, 9 to 5 was a pop hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
She crossed over. You're absolutely right. She was the Taylor Swift at the time. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
And no doubt about it, her gigantic assets were always talked about and thought about. I mean, and this was a day where you could say things about objectifying women, and it wasn't a problem. And Dolly went with it because she knew, look, this is what you do to get ahead. Whatever you do what you can to get ahead, which is really the secret of any success. And I think you're right, Steve. I think she would have a great sense of humor about it because she comes from a generation where she's like, hey, say what you want about me. I'm winning.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's the one that's poking fun, having a good time. It's not like Dolly's Knockers is not like a. It's,
and now
I really need to make this band happen.
Yeah,
I know.
And she can sing.
She was hugely talented. I mean, the other thing was is that Dolly Parton was amazingly talented on so many levels, and it just so happened she just had this great body as well.
And she's been jumping up on some current artists, contemporary artists, doing some duets with some people, not only just in country, but I also think in the Christian pop world as well. Like, she's still active,
yeah,
and doing her thing.
I love to see that. I think, I don't know, Katy Perry talked about getting to spend some time doing an award, and Katy loves her. So, you know, you love that she's still relevant.
And Miley Cyrus, I did not know, is her goddaughter.
Yep.
Really?
I just saw that on Wikipedia, so it's true.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Dolly because she just did an interview where she shared that she's trying to record vocal tracks for every song that she's written most of them unheard, so that future producers will be able to create new songs for many years to come.
I am purposely trying to put songs down for that very purpose, to have a click track and my vocals to where any arrangement can be done. Anyone, any producer anywhere in the world, a hot producer, when I'm gone, they could take my songs, just the click track and my vocal, and build a complete arrangement around that. Wow. Any style. So that will go on forever.
Oh, how fun is that? So she basically just no music underneath of it.
Right.
And what is a click track for us, the idiots that don't know because you're in the biz?
I'm in the biz, man. It's just that you're singing along to a metronome. So that way you can have the tempo always be dead on. So that way it's like, hey, 150 beats per minute. You don't have to worry that at some point during the chorus it might speed up to 155. So you're singing along to just a click, 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 click sound.
And with that, you can make any kind of arrangement, put any kind of instruments you want behind it, which means you can have a new Dolly Parton song.
That's how all those mashups happen. Like, you find a song where you could get the vocals only, like Nine Inch Nails Closer. And so you grab that. You're like, oh, wow, I can manipulate it so that it fits the beats per minute of the Ghostbusters theme, which recently was done.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you've got Trent Reznor singing over the Ghostbusters theme.
That's what she's doing.
Oh, man, if I was her, I think I'd put those out before I died so I can hear what people are doing with it. Like, here's a bunch, here's like 10, or maybe like 5 or 10 of these songs. Throw them out there, put it on YouTube or on whatever, just vocals. Have your fun with it. So, like, a hip-hop artist could use it, or a punk band can use it.
That would be cool.
Or an EDM artist can use it. It'd be interesting just to hear what they do.
And you know they would.
Oh, gosh,
especially if it's somebody iconic like Dolly. Of course they would.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to hear a death metal song with Dolly Parton singing on it.
Oh, yeah. Now I do, too.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. All right, we need this.
Have you heard the Nine Inch Nails Ghostbusters mashup?
I think I have, but you know what? Let's play it again anyway.
I thought you were
joking. No, no. I only brought that one up because I don't think we ever got around to playing it, but I saw it online.
Oh, really? Maybe I haven't heard it. I when you said it, I thought, oh, I know that one.
I don't hate it.
No, not at all. But here's the cool thing. I think this is awesome. But this is what Dolly's allowing to be done.
Yeah.
Whatever you can make anything. You can have so many different vibes to the same song. All right. Well, you know what? Who doesn't love the Ghostbusters theme? I mean, really, you could put anything to that.
Yeah, if you want to find out who's a terrorist in this country, if they don't like it, you're a terrorist.
You know what? Normally, I think your ideas are stupid, but yes, I think that's a good litmus test. You just bring people in at the border and go, okay, let's play this.
Or just ask people at TSA. Yeah. Do you like the Ghostbusters theme? No, sorry, you're on the no-fly list.
You're done. It's over.
You're not allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah. Got a new book out. It's called 21st Century Etiquette. Didn't even know we cared about etiquette in the 21st century.
This makes me think of your rules, because you have created your own set of etiquette when it comes to contacting you.
Yes. Contact etiquette, yes. And that I'm all for.
Okay. Now I'm curious to see if you're guilty of this or if any of us are.
This is surprising to me. Apparently, according to 21st century etiquette, leaving someone a voicemail is now considered rude.
Rude?
Yeah.
See, for me, if you don't leave me a voicemail, there's a good chance I might not get back to you.
Yeah, I will not call you back.
Because I just expect if you need to know something, either you're going to leave me the voicemail or you're going to shoot me a text to get an answer. If you're just calling to say what's up and you don't respond, I'm like, I'll call you when I have my time.
See, if you don't believe that if you don't leave a voicemail, for me, I just feel that you're a robot. Like, it's just a bot call that's not doing anything and it's just spam.
Or you accidentally butt dial me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I understand what the author's talking about. By the way, the book is called Kill Reply All, A Modern Guide to Online Etiquette. Rev, I see your point. Steve, I see your point. But the author argues there is just no purpose for voicemails in the modern age, and having to sit through a two-minute message is super inefficient and inconvenient. I get what he's saying. He's assuming that everybody has cell phones. And therefore, right. If you have a cell phone, there is no reason, if you're calling somebody who has a cell phone, to leave a voicemail. And I have to say, I just did that last night.
You left a voicemail?
No, I didn't. Oh. I actually stopped. Like, I was trying to call my wife.
Yeah.
It wasn't going through. I knew she wasn't going to pick up. I hung up. and left a text instead.
Yeah, that's typically what I would do.
He makes a point. Really, what's the point of leaving a voicemail on somebody's cell phone?
Although I like now that there's a transcription thing on voicemails. Sometimes I don't even listen to the voicemails. I just read what the transcription is. It's 70% correct. A lot of times they screw up some stuff. But for the most part, I get the gist of what they're calling about. Like if my parents call, I'm like, oh, they left a voicemail. It's like a minute and a half. And I'm reading it. I'm like, okay, nothing bad. So I don't have to call them right away. And it's just them asking about our daughter and how she's doing and that kind of stuff. I'll call them when I have some free time.
And you know what else is considered rude, according to this book, Kill Reply All, A Modern Guide to Online Etiquette? And what? I agree with this.
Uh-oh.
And that is cold calling somebody.
What do you mean?
And you just call somebody.
Oh, yeah. You're the king of, hey, do you have time to chat?
Yes. That's what you should do. You text somebody to see if they want to talk to you on the phone. See, and it turns out I'm leading the way.
Yeah, I appreciate that from BJ.
You're a trendsetter.
I'm a trendsetter because you should do that to anybody. Don't just call them. Ask them if it's okay to call them.
See, I'm old-fashioned. Like, you know how you know I'm not available to chat? If I don't answer when you called. Yeah. I don't know why I need to text you to tell you that I'm not available to talk. Just try calling me, and then I won't answer.
You know, here's the thing. Unlike people, people sometimes go, you know what? I mean, here he is on the phone. They have to make the decision.
Uh-huh.
It's somebody I know I should answer. If I don't answer, they're going to go, why didn't you answer?
I get that.
Yeah, as opposed to, if you really don't want to talk right now, I give you the option. And I also let you know it's not important. Because the other thing is, when you get a phone call, you're thinking, okay, this must be important. They're calling me on the phone.
Yeah.
That's why I always text everybody.
It's an emergency.
Hey, you got time to chat? You know then I'm giving you the option of saying, no, it's not an emergency.
Right.
But if I cold call you, because now I know Steve's MO, he just won't answer.
Well, I have some people also just like, when they call, I'm the king of just, all right, what's the button to decline this call? And then they're like, oh, real cool, sending me straight to voicemail. I'm like, yeah, I didn't feel like talking to you. Get over it.
Yeah, it turns out they shouldn't be doing it that way anyway. Yeah.
I don't got time right now, and I'm listening to music, so you're interrupting my music experience.
Oh, yeah.
I'm declining you.
I get anxiety when it happens like that, so I'll just sit there staring at the phone until it just goes to voicemail because of that thing, because I'm afraid someone will call me out on it, and I don't want to deal with that conversation. I'll just stare at my phone for 30 seconds and then get back to my song.
Oh, that's so crazy.
But, Rev, you're right. People get butthurt over the stupidest stuff.
Really mad about it.
And they don't know that they're behind the times. You should text somebody before you call them. That's in this book of etiquette, and I totally agree.
Someone says, I'm with Steve. I just freaking call me. I hate when someone texts me to say, can they call?
See, I have, with my old roommate, we had this rule. Like, we didn't like talking on the phone, like, especially to each other. We don't have anything to talk about. We just texted. But if there was an emergency, you call twice in a row. And so he never called me. That means I call, and if you don't, like, you know, we send the other one to voicemail. He calls again. I'm like, okay, something's wrong. And so he did that while I may or may not have had been in my alone time.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, something.
Yeah,
you know,
Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh my God, he had a seizure. Something's wrong. I pick up and he's like, hey, Vicky, I got a new joke and I wanted to try it on you. You interrupted my alone time for this?
Wow, did you tell him actually
that's
exactly what you were doing? Oh,
I'm like, dude.
I would be devastated if that was the case. I would be devastated to actually hear you tell me you have alone time and then to go, wow, I know what that's like. That sucks.
But, like, see, but he never calls, and he did the freaking, you know, it's an emergency.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Yes.
I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, if you guys call, if I'm in the middle of a long time, I'll just talk to you guys. Say what's up.
I'm never calling you again.
Never calling
you. DJ texts me, you free to chat? I'm like, hold on a second. I will be in a minute.
It's like, you free to video chat?
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Let's talk about David. He's from Kansas. He's 40, and he's been in a custody battle with his 38-year-old ex-wife, Bridget, from Iowa.
Okay.
Now, David has been very, very frustrated with Bridget and her attorney, so he's like, you know what? I just want to get this done. You with your legalese, all your mumbo-jumbo. I've got a better idea on how to figure out this custody battle. Let's have a Japanese sword battle. That's how we'll do it. And whoever wins the duel wins the kids.
Are they at least going to wear, like, protection, or is it, like, to death? Because, I mean, then you know who wins the kids.
That's
a
good point.
The living person.
I mean, if you fight
out of jail.
Yeah, if you fight to the death, I think that's the way to go. Either you're not worried about it anymore because you're dead, or, yeah, you've got the kids. There's no one else to give them to. I think this is a wonderful idea, Steve. To the death. Yeah, he says he wants to meet his ex-wife, her attorney, or, quote, a champion she chooses on the field of battle, where he says, I will rend their souls from their corporeal bodies. Oh, wow. That is...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have to say, he is totally like watching a lot of TV, playing a lot of video games.
Cue that's... the Game of Thrones music.
Yeah. I'm feeling this, though. Maybe not a sword fight, because that's dangerous.
Oh, yeah?
What if we had like a reality-based competition, kind of like American Ninja or American Gladiators? So this could be like American divorce proceedings or something like that. Where
for custody.
Yeah, you compete against your ex in some games.
Oh, sure.
Winner gets...
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, not kids, because kids is a little... That's a touchy thing.
Oh, I was going to... So you're drawing the line finally with your ridiculous idea to make a spectacle out of a real human situation
yeah.
for your enjoyment to
yeah.
watch. Okay.
Ooh, we could call it Battle Court.
Yes.
Battle Court.
Battle Court. And it's like, okay, you each have certain things that you want to keep. Television set, the car.
Oh, so it's the people's
house.
Court with fighting.
Non-living things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you battle. But not into people. It's more like...
Well, I mean, if you have a problem with like a dog bill or whatever, right?
Yeah, but you go and talk in front of a judge. This isn't a judge. Like, you're going to like, you know, run on like some kind of like thin wire, and if you land in
yes.
mud or something.
What I mean is that whatever people would go and have a problem with to go to settle on people's court, we settle in yours
yeah.
instead.
Hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, we need him.
Yes. All right.
So it is going to be a massive competition, Ninja Warrior style, where you will settle whatever legal dispute you have that doesn't involve human beings.
Or animals.
Oh, all right. Now it's
nothing
animals.
Living. Nothing living.
Son of a gun. I mean,
so like car, coffee table.
Car.
Video game system.
Okay.
And like if you win, you get to pick one thing that you absolutely get. You know, maybe each competition you get to pick one thing, and at the end.
So it's a big pile of stuff of that you guys are fighting over.
And yeah, and at the end, you win something really awesome.
It's a real custody
battle. Like $20,000 or something.
All right. I like this. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Because I'm sure we could get comments from people on the text line or even call in, like just people that have just kind of given up on. I mean, Danny, you went through a divorce. Like, was there something like you guys both wanted and you're just like, you know what? Screw it. You can have it.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
or
much.
She did that with you.
I was going to say pretty much everything that she got was I was just like too tired of fighting.
I just
fighting.
Want to be done.
Yeah, like DVDs, movie
right.
collection, records, stuff like that. I was just like, it's not worth my time to like argue with this. Just take it.
But wouldn't it be more fun to do something like, you know, like Double Dare?
No, because she would have beat me up.
Oh. Well, you don't have to fight each other.
But I was thinking like one of those like big, okay. Yeah, Double Dare would be fun.
Yeah,
where you get to basically compete and see who's better at all that, right. like the obstacle course.
She'd probably still beat me, but yeah. Whatever.
Well, hey, listen, it's better than fighting over it.
I would watch this show.
I know
too.
You would. You came up with it.
Yeah.
What kind of a guy wouldn't watch his own show?
That's a good point. I need to pitch this. Who can I? Doesn't our agent do TV stuff?
Yeah, our agent does TV stuff. He's done shows.
All right, I'm going to pitch this to
him. And some of them I thought have been ridiculous, so I think your idea is right up the alley.
Yes.
Wait, does it have to just be for divorce? Because I would love... Yeah, well, like I had a gal, like I tried commissioning her for something and then never gave me what I like had commissioned. And then when I asked her for the money back, she's like, oh, I'll get it back
That's
to you.
That's the people's court aspect. Whatever
yeah.
you go to people's court over, you go to Steve's battlefield.
I feel like that one doesn't count in mine. No, I'm sorry, Vicky.
Wow. She's got a real problem.
Shut down.
I would love to beat her up for my money.
Well, that could be another show. We could do a different show.
It could
offshoot.
Be a spinoff, yeah.
Okay, we'll
but
do
this
a spinoff.
Is about relationships
okay,
between
this is about-
two people who used to love each other and now are willing to fight through mud.
Okay. Okay.
And fire.
All
and whatever.
Right.
I don't know what else.
Okay. I have a feeling, Vicky, he'll start entertaining your stuff in season 4.
Okay.
Because in season four, they need to change things up a little bit. And so
he'll I just need one season. I'm cashing out and let them worry about it.
Oh, you're going to? Okay. All right. Then don't even talk to Steve. We'll work it out.
I'll be on an island somewhere.
Awesome. I love this guy that wants to have a Japanese sword battle to settle his custody dispute. And he says, look, I want to do this, but give me 12 weeks because I need lead time to source or forge katana and wakizashi swords.
What? So he... Okay. This is a little Kill Bill here now.
Yeah, he is. He is a little Kill Bill.
Wow.
Now, I have no clue if this guy is serious. He said on one hand he proposed it because, quote, I met my ex-wife's lawyer absurdity with my own absurdity. And on the other hand, he said he's researched dueling legislation to back up his case. So
I can't believe this guy's actually trying to go through with this.
You know, it's an interesting thing. I get it. If you find that a lawyer is presenting something just completely absurd to you and you come back, we're going to have a duel. Well, you know, that's when you go, maybe you should get yourself a lawyer, sir.
Divorce wars.
And I mean, divorce wars. I like that.
That's
right. A good one there.
Yeah.
I love that.
A real War of the Roses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you can, I mean, in Seattle, I know because of Phoenix Jones, you can do mutual combat. But those are just like fisticuffs.
Hire a champion. So Phoenix Jones would be your champion?
I think so at this point, yeah. I'm not going to get into a fight.
So we could call it Battle Court Royale, hosted by The Rock and Kevin Hart, guest starring Judge Judy.
Okay.
Awesome. Judge Judy.
Battle Court Royale.
You know, Judge Judy's still doing stuff. I somehow ended up on the channel where she was doing her show.
Oh, yeah. She's still on.
Yeah, she's still kicking.
Yeah, she looks the same.
She does. It's very weird.
Isn't it insane? You know, look, I don't mean to be mean, but when you always look like somebody's mother, it's easy to maintain looking like somebody's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. She's the smart one. Rather than trying to look like she's like in her 20s, she said, I'm going to try to look like I'm in my, you know, mid-40s.
Yep.
And I'll just see if I can stay looking like I'm in my mid-40s.
And she's 77.
Good for her.
She's 77? Mm-hmm. And she's still going. And she's still got the same chutzpah. She still screams and yells, I think, with the same fervor that she always has.
So there's hope for you.
Yeah.
Her brother was my dentist when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah? What was his name? Dentist Judy?
No, just David.
Oh, David.
It's kind of a cool one degree cool of story, separation bro. Between
yeah,
me.
That's a cool story, bro.
Yeah, that really is a cool story, bro.
It was pretty awesome when you're a kid and you find that out.
Judge Judy
wait,
and
when
Dentist
you were,
David.
Wait, she was doing her Judge Judy stuff when you were getting your teeth drilled?
Yeah, when I was like a teen.
I didn't know you knew about her even then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe she was just a New York lady then. I don't know how long she's been
when
around.
When did the show start?
96.
Okay, so I was a late teen.
Okay.
But still a teen.
All right, fair enough. And what did you guys talk about?
My teeth.
Okay. All right. That's a really cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Do you know she is worth $420 million? Yeah.
Wow.
You know, you can take those things with a grain of salt. They're not really accurate. But still, she's probably worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. What do we got a plus or minus on? Because everybody's numbers are what they are. So she's higher than a lot of Hollywood people.
Well, I just remember that because Craig Gass one time put on his Facebook, he screenshot somebody, like, found his net worth on the internet. And it was like a few million dollars. He's like, yeah, that's not true. I don't even know where that came from.
So is it plus or minus what that is? I mean, that's the...
Based on how he posted it, it seems like he was being exaggerated in numbers there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, $400 million for Judge Judy,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, I don't know, you get like $20 million for some Hollywood people, $30 million, maybe $100 million. It seems like that's more than even Jennifer Aniston. I wouldn't think that Judge Judy's worth more than Jennifer Aniston. What's Jennifer?
Well, it says she makes Judge Judy makes $47 million per year for the
on the show.
Well, she also has a couple books out.
See what I mean, I don't know.
That's insane! Wow.
According to I did Craig Gass, net worth is $89 million.
Is
really?
It really?
Yeah,
no,
that's
it's
what
not.
I mean.
That's
nice.
Not what it says. It says it right
him up
there.
For some money.
Craig Gass, what?
Earn the money being a professional comic.
Oh, they're insane.
That's why I don't.
Is that the same Craig Gass we know?
Right.
Is there another Craig Gass that's really like really doing well for himself? And we got the regular dude. $89 million.
That's why when I see these things, I mean, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
I will say though, Craig Gass gets to do what he wants to do.
He's not.
He runs around.
Money.
He's everywhere. He goes to Super Bowls. He's everywhere we are. He never really. He says he does comedy shows, but I never see it. Every once in a while, he'll go to Buckley. I mean, maybe he does have a ton of cash. He doesn't need to do
$89 million.
It's that sweet Sex in the City money. Remember when he did that show? He's probably
Craig.
Residuals
on that.
Rev, call Craig. Let's ask him.
Oh, okay.
Do you have his number?
Yeah.
89? Where are you getting that from?
Estimated net worth in 2020, $89 million.
Okay, this site is ridiculous. Are you sure there's not more than one Craig Gass?
No, it's the same Craig Gass.
Wow. How do they get that? How do they even figure that out?
They make them up.
You aren't kidding. They make him up, dude.
He's, I mean, all right. He's on the line.
We got him.
All right. Here we go.
Nice.
Craig Gass, everybody.
Hey, guys. I'm talking to you right now on my $85 million phone. What's up?
Hey, so, Craig, we were talking about Judge Judy, and, somehow we got into the conversation about her net worth being $420 million. I'm like, oh, you got to take that with a grain of salt. Sometimes they inflate those. Because I remember Craig posting something on his Facebook where he had a screenshot of what they listed you having for a net worth. And I don't recall what the amount was, but it was in the millions. And then I just went online today, and it says that you're worth $89 million.
Yeah, and there's been a couple websites that have reported that I was worth, I want to say, in the tens of millions of dollars. And then someone just recently texted me to say, hey, did you know that you're worth $89 million, according to the internet? And I this is the worst part of this conversation, is that I have to tell you that number is off by $89 million. it's such a bummer. And I really, someone asked me about it on the air the other day, and I was trying to break down, like, how do you even come up with $89 million if you're talking about one appearance on King of Queens, one appearance on Sex and the City? My Family Guy and American Dad checks, like those residuals, are decent because American Dad and Family Guy replay all the time on all different types of platforms. But, man, I don't know how they come up with $89 million. I don't get it. But, yeah, I'm sad to announce that it's off by exactly $89 million.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. If I call Travis, will I actually see him or someone who works for him?
Absolutely. When you come in to see my office, when you first call in, my staff will try to help you with any basic questions that you have. I can give you a call back, but they'll usually try to schedule you for a free consultation with me, the attorney, and I'll meet with you personally. We'll talk about the basics of your case, and I'll take you through a question and answer session that usually an interview that usually lasts about 30 minutes. We'll get the basics of your financial situation. I can answer your questions, and we can talk about whether bankruptcy makes sense, your non-bankruptcy options, and how bankruptcy could affect you, what the process is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.